for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is one of two for the Friday evening service of November the 26th, 2004. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Rod Johnson of Brussels, Wisconsin is the minister.
A few places in America and on the other side over there too in Europe where you can come and share the word of God without fear of being reprimanded. You may be corrected, that's great. But you can speak openly as the Spirit of the Lord guides. And another thing about this place is it is a place of holiness. It is a place of absolute holiness. And when they talked on this rapture stuff, no, dear, I won't tonight. But my Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And then in 1 John, he says that when he appears, we shall know him and see him as he is. That's holiness. Nowhere in there does he say, I'm going to fly away in my dirty form and get changed in the twinkling of an eye that way. You know, through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. Tell me to be still. Come on, guys. Huh? If you can find a place in the Bible where people escape, I want to know about it because I want to figure out the formula and do it too. Okay? There's only one place of escape, and that's in a place of holiness. Amen? Amen. Okay. Very good. Do we know one another yet? Hallelujah. We better pray. Yes, we better, Lord. Father, we thank you. There's not much else we can say but thank you. What a mighty, mighty God you are. We praise you for it. We praise you. Without you, we are nothing. With you, we are everything that you've ordained us to be. Oh, Lord, that we might partake of your nature more and more and more. Every breath we breathe, every thought we think, every move we take. May we be changed into your likeness, O God. And it's with that attitude, Lord, that we come together now in Jesus' name. Let the anointing from above meet the anointing within and do a work. We don't want church. We want a gathering where you do a work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will tell you the truth. I don't know where to go for sure. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. It's after Genesis. And it's before the part that we don't know. Chapter 13. I feel good tonight. I hope you don't mind. If you do, you'll get over it. Okay. I think 13. I think that's where we'll start, okay? A quick word, too, while you're going there about coming here. Mom and I won't go just to go to have meetings at all. But every time there's a stirring in my heart for this place, I'll just call and tell him about it. And one time many years ago, he trusted my wife and I with youth camp. We about burned the place down, but... Well, it was over 4th of July. Some of you have heard this before, but over the 4th of July, and... I said, could we have a bonfire tonight? He said, well, sure. So the gentleman that was in charge at the time made us a nice pile for a bonfire. Unbeknownst to me, there was another pile of timbers. I know you remember. And it was huge, and so that's the one we lit on fire. And what a fire we had. But I want to tell you something that you don't know. Then we're going to get to the word, but this is good. I'll tell you something that you don't know. There was a man that came to deliverance camp. He's a man that told me that if I ever walk on his property, he'd shoot me. And he threatened us and so on. And his dad died. And somehow they asked me to preach the funeral. And so old Harry was his name, was in the back of the funeral. And he got saved during the time of that. And he gets up in the back of the funeral and he shouts, to everybody. He said, "You listen, because what he's telling you is the truth." Quite a funeral we had. But he came and he needed deliverance. I mean, that guy needed deliverance. And the youth, he was sitting down there with us on a hay wagon, if I remember right. And the youth started praying for that man. And boy, did he get hit by God. It was just powerful. And we just, he comes and sees us every now and then. He's asked us to do the marriage of his new wife and so on. But some more fruit that's out there. Hallelujah. A lot of stories like that. So, isn't it good to be saved? Okay, I'll begin this by a personal experience. We're going to look at chapter 13 of Revelation. And I want to speak tonight to the body of Christ. This is actually a foundational teaching for deliverance. And I would preface it by saying, why are we here for deliverance, God? Okay, keep your finger and I'll tell you why. Colossians, I think. I'm sorry, but why do we come for deliverance? It's more than it's Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul in verse 9, we'll pick up there, is expressing a reason of why he wants deliverance. And I think that we all need to ask ourselves, are we trying to get holy so that we can go to heaven? If that's true, then you shouldn't get delivered. Because it's by grace that you're saved, it's a gift of God. If you're trying to get delivered so that your life is better, that's the wrong reason. That's the wrong motive. It's a selfish motive. The reason I want deliverance is that I might know Him. That I might know Him. That I might be able to love Him with a love that I don't quite understand how He loves me. That's why I want deliverance. That's why we're here. That we might know Him. That we might know Him. That we might know Him. In a deeper relationship. And Apostle Paul is talking about that. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So he's describing his attitude towards life. And he had a goal, and it was a legal goal. It was a religious goal. It was an idea, and it was a lifestyle, and it was a cause. If we want deliverance for any of those reasons at all, we're not going to get set free. And the Apostle Paul finally came to realize that because his next statement. He says, but those things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What an attitude of deliverance to begin with. Lord, I am not the issue. My comforts are not the issue. My knowledge is not the issue. I want the knowledge of God to be intimate, not that I might spread my knowledge amongst my brothers and sisters and impress them, but that my faith might grow, that I might believe that I can be as He wants me to be. Hallelujah. Okay. We better ask God where we're going. I honestly don't know, but I know that this is what He wants. Thank you, Lord. And He says, all of the accomplishments of my life are like dung. That doesn't mean that they are worthless because we've been told to occupy. But we need to keep our accomplishments in their proper place. That's what we need. Otherwise, we need to get delivered from a spirit of pride or whatever it might be. And let's go on. And he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Here he hits it right on the nail. He says, all of those things are as if they don't matter. Because I have found something that I need to search for. Something that I need to hunger for. And he says, notice the order of this. He says, for the knowledge of, that would be an intimate knowing. It isn't a confessing, although it turns into confession. It isn't a head knowledge, although it starts there. But it's that inner knowing that every move I make is birthed out of a loving desire. Hallelujah. And he says, Christ Jesus. He didn't say Jesus Christ. He didn't say Jesus or he didn't say Christ. That when he says Christ first, it means the anointed one, the anointing. He says, I want to know the anointing that Jesus had. That's why he put Jesus second. And Jesus is referred to then as the one that walks on this earth. So he has a desire in his heart that I might walk in the fullness of the anointing that my Savior Jesus did while he was on this earth. People, we are not a copper-outer people. We are overcomers. Yeah. Hallelujah. Every overcomer has to have something to overcome or they can't be an overcomer. So glory to the Lord, we are being changed into His likeness by overcoming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, and our life is filled with speed bumps. You know, isn't it? But you know, when I come down the highway, especially this morning, and it was a long ways from Houston. And my eyes were seeing. I told her I think there's three lines there instead of one. But you know, thank God for speed bumps as well as in life. Speed bumps tell me you're about to veer off the track. Speed bumps wake me up and make me alert so that I will focus back. That's what being an overcomer is. Hallelujah. Speed bumps in life. Glory to God. What a privilege they are. Isn't that right? Okay. And he says that I want to win Christ. He's not talking there about I want to be the apple of his eye, the favorite one and all of that, because we're already that already. He says you're the apple of my eye. You're my favorite one. Your soul is my darling. I've given you the best that there is. I've given you all that is necessary to walk in complete victory. So he's not saying, here, I want to win the favor of Christ. No. He's saying, I want to walk in the victory of the anointing. When he said Christ, I want to walk in the victory of the anointing. Now, there's nowhere in the Word of God where it says the anointing is out here and I got to chase it. No, the anointing is here already. We just need to learn it. We need to accept it and let it be released. Hallelujah. That I may win Christ and be found in him, having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, not my own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm going to go to the next one because I didn't want to preach on this. That I may know him, and this is it, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. I wonder how many programs we can see where they tell us that we should suffer, right? Huh? Come on. I don't find that doctrine out there, you know, because people won't send. Never mind. You know what I'm going to say. Come on. And that I might know the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, I want to know how to walk in the releasing of the anointing that I already carry. Hallelujah. That I would face things such as Jesus faced as he walked on this earth. Does it ever say that Jesus' feelings were hurt? Does it ever say that somebody made him mad? Does it ever say any of the negative things that we all carry in our basketfuls that need deliverance and so on? No. Does it ever say that Jesus had a scattered soul? No. Does it ever say that Jesus lost his temper in an unrighteous anger? No. No. See, Jesus didn't have any of those things. All he had was the gifts of the Spirit operating and the fruit of the Spirit and action in his life. And that's what Paul is talking about here. That I may win. That I may react in all. That I may be in all my thoughts. I have the mind of Christ. In all of my thoughts, that I may live just as Jesus lived. That's winning Christ. That's why we have deliverance, guys. We need to know our destiny, which has already been given to us. Hallelujah. And the only way we're going to know it is to be set free from anything that stands between Jesus and me. Between me knowing him as he is. There is just no escapism in that whatsoever. It's just, let's go on. Okay. I want to be made conformable unto his death. Two things that Jesus said at his death that are so meaningful. First of all, he made a powerful statement, not my will, but thine be done. If we're going to walk into the victory of deliverance, and this is foundation tonight, we have to be willing to surrender our will. Another way of putting it, we have to be willing to surrender our pride. I don't know how many of you have fallen into the trap more than I have, but every time I think, at last, God, I got it made, another piece comes off. You know, he's digging deeper and deeper and deeper, and so on. Pride will hinder us. So the moment you think you might not need deliverance, look out. Instead, Lord, search me. If we share again over the camp, I want to get into that on another way. But let's go on to something else here for a moment. And the other word was when Jesus was done, he made a powerful proclamation. He said, it's finished. It's finished. God has given us 70 years guaranteed if we walk in his way to do the job. And we can say at the end of the 70 years, it's finished. Well, I don't know. I want to think that that's true. But I'm saying, Lord, I just turned 65, and the old devil, he's just trying to kick me down for that, because all of the words that were spoken over me as I was a young kid, you know, just work hard. When you're 65, you can retire and relax, you know. And I have a friend that turned 65 6 months ago, retired 3 months ago, and he died 2 days ago or 3 days ago, yeah, and so on. Now, Lord, by your grace, don't take me home until I can say it is finished. It is finished. It is finished. And by the standards I'm living at today, man, Moses had nothing on me. Isn't that right? Lord, it is finished. Turn with me now, if you would, to Revelation again. That was just a little side trip, but we need that as a foundation. Okay. Now, preaching and saying amen and hallelujah and getting excited and goosebumps and all of these great feelings is really awesome. But it doesn't do a tootin' bit of good unless I live it. And I'm not going to live it unless it's in my heart and my heart is willing to desire. So we need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a desire. Give me a desire. He promises He will give us the desire of our hearts as so long as we live according to His will and way. He says, I am looking down in Psalm... Oh, shucks, I don't remember. I'm looking down to see if there are any that are seeking me that might understand whom I am. The Lord is looking for us, people. All we need to do is to say, Lord, stir my heart with a desire that I might become like you. That's all I want. Fanatical. Yes, it is fanatical. I will tell you the other thing. We are living in the age of the blessings of the fanatics. This next 3.5 years are going to be some of the most powerful, blessed years of fanatics that there has ever been. It has started now, and I share this with you in a moment, but it has started now, and we've got 3.5 years to walk in the power and glory of our Father, who is being magnified by His nature pouring through us in front of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Doc. Thank Him for grace and mercy. One evening I was doing a Bible study, and it was this small group, 8 or 10, mostly new Christians, various stages of needing deliverance. And I began to receive what I'll call it a vision. I don't want to impress anybody with super spirituality, but it just did happen, you know. And as I was there, I saw an angel of the Lord. I believe I know who it was, but that's immaterial. And he had a scepter in his hand, this angel did. And on the end of the scepter was a crown. And he walked over to us like this, and he touched each one of us on our head. And as he did that, birthed within me was what I'm going to share with you tonight. And I said to him, Lord, what's happening? What's happening? I want to know what's going on. He spoke to me 3.5 years of blessing where my people are going to be a living testimony of my love. Provision is secondary. A testimony of His love is all that we want. A new car is nice. A nice home is good. And I know God wants us to have things. But if the things become the focus of our vision, that's right, it's nothing at all. Just to let His love flow. So I share with you what He shared with me. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Okay, He was taken in a vision. The sea stands for the people. Okay, the mass of people. The sand stands for the individuals. Okay, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm sorry. Chapter 13, 15. Forgive me. I don't believe I'm doing this, God. Help me. Just be patient with me. Oh, it's chapter 12, 11. If we were on TV, this would be a commercial break, okay? You did? Hallelujah. I pray I don't offend anybody, but there's some days when we're really serious, and there's some days, I'm going to tell you the truth, I love the bark on a tree. And I just sit and stare and touch at it. And it makes you feel so good. And did you ever touch a leaf? Oh, it's so wonderful. There's such joy in being a Christian. There is such joy in feeling the demons fly out of you. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Deliverance camp is a time of feasting and joy. Praise be to God. Okay. So there was given unto me a reed like unto a rod. Okay. Remember that scepter I said that I saw? This is a description of it. Okay. There was given unto me a reed like unto a rod. The reed stands for that which measures. Okay. And the rod stands for God's authority. So in this angel's hand, he had something that was going to measure the authority of God in the people's lives. Okay. In other words, he was looking down and looking into our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. Well, the first thing he said was, get up. God is measuring from a high place. I'll explain that. We talk about walking in the Spirit. We talk about being caught up in the Spirit, etc. This is what that means. There's many things, but for tonight, this is what that means. I am willing, Lord, to let all of my thoughts be Word of God thoughts. I am willing, Lord, to let all of my actions be controlled by that which I have in me, which is the mind of Christ. That is what being in the Spirit is. That's what walking in the Spirit is. Singing is wonderful. Dancing in the Spirit, etc., is wonderful. But true being in the Spirit is when we have learned to discipline our mind that we would walk in God thoughts. The Apostle Paul was saying he wanted to be like Christ Jesus. In other words, he was saying every situation that comes along in life, I want to think like Jesus thought. Because out of my heart proceeds. Well, what do I want to proceed from my heart? I want just the thoughts, the reaction of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. I just throw this in for what it's worth. Don't let anybody ever tell you that tell anybody that they make you angry. That's a lie. Don't let anybody make believe a lie that they hurt you. That's a lie. They can't. They can control you by making you think it's their fault. So not only then do they become a vessel of holding you down, but then they are a vessel of controlling you. And nobody wants to be controlled. But just the reason I'm sharing that, and it fits in here, is this. It's not what people do to me. It's how I react to people. Glory to God. And I don't see one place, I told you that before, where Jesus reacted with a negative. He spoke truth. He had righteous anger. But not once did he say, you offended me. Not once did he say, you made me mad. Only dogs get mad, but angry. Isn't that right? Now, another time we'll get into that, but let's go on. And he says, measure the temple of God. The temple of God. There are two temples in the New Testament. The one is the physical temple in Jerusalem. I can't think of the Greek word for it right now. Someone may remember it. But the other word, the other word is the one that we're looking at, and it's the naos, N-A-O-S. So you want to speak Greek? Say it with me, naos. Now, you learned a foreign language tonight, too, okay? That is talking about, know ye not, ye are the temple of God? Singularly he speaks of that, and plurally he speaks of that. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God singularly? He is saying, no, don't you realize that you and I are the dwelling place of God? That's the naos. It's not the physical. And then another place he says, don't you guys realize that you're the temple of God? That's you and I tonight, the corporate group, is the temple of God, okay? So he is speaking here of a measuring of the naos, not the one, okay, I won't go there. Not the one that some people think is going to float down out of heaven, which they're totally misled by. But he's speaking of the you and I, a measuring with the holiness of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he says, here, Ed, I want you to measure. He says, I want you to measure the altar and them that worship therein. Many different ways of looking at this, but for the purpose of desire, the altar. Stop and think about it for a moment. An altar is a place of sacrifice. An altar is a place of communication. An altar is a place of freedom. An altar is a place where the blood of Jesus flows freely. Let's just look at that in my personal walk, if I can, for a moment. The first altar I need to look at is the altar of myself and myself. I have an altar of self with self. Do you ever talk to yourself in your head? Do you ever talk out loud to yourself and answer yourself? It's scriptural to do, you know, talk to yourself. The word says, isn't that right? But it's me. I think I know myself so well. It's this place where I know things that, oh, Lord forbid, anybody else would know about me, that type of thing. And the truth of the matter is I'm splashing it out all over. They just don't write about it, you know, and I think it's a secret. Okay? The altar is the area of mine iniquities when it's with myself. Now, there's a positive side to this, so just look at the other side. Iniquities are those hidden driving desires that make my body want to react to do the sin. Father, deliver me from mine iniquities. But oh, we try to hide them, don't we? And we don't want anybody to know about them. One time I got delivered from something, and after I was all done getting delivered and I resigned and quit Christianity preaching and all that for a day, you know how you get sometimes. And I was telling my wife about it, and she says, honey, I knew you had that all along. I was just waiting for you to get set free. I don't want to know how I answered her. But you see, this is the first altar. I must be willing to meet myself face to face. Deliverance is not going to happen until I'm willing to meet myself face to face. It's fun to look through a mirror and have it be cloudy. So we need to clean it. And we clean it by a mere confession of Jesus. Apply your blood to the mirror that I'm going to look into, that I might see myself and give me strength to face myself. Give me strength to face myself. Deliverance. Give me strength. It's not about what she did to me or he did to me or what somebody did to me in the past. No, 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 no. I just reacted wrong to those things. I want to know myself. And Jesus has a promise. He spoke it through John the Baptist. He said, let's put the axe to the root. And this is what deliverance is. Deliverance is putting the axe to the root. And deliverance is Jesus putting a curse on the non-productive fruit in our life. Remember when Jesus and the disciples were walking down the road and there was a fig tree and it was lunchtime and they were hungry and so on? And I can just imagine the human side of Jesus. His stomach was growling. Come on, he was just like you and I, you know? His stomach was growling and whatever else it might have been. And I can't say McDonald's hamburgers anymore. Oh, those signs are tempting when you're hungry. But anyhow, he gets up to the fig tree. What happened? Remember? There were no figs. He cursed it. He cursed that which was not producing fruit. We need to be willing to let our Father motivate the power of the Holy Spirit by convicting us and putting a curse on that which is not good fruit. Do you ever pray that way? Oh, Lord, curse that which is within me that is not of a righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what he does is he uses the Holy Spirit to meet us where we're at. Because he says, I was tempted in all points such as you were. Let me come meet you where you're at. And I will show you mercy. Mercy, conviction. Mercy and conviction carry with it a meaning that's very deep. I will wash your feet and I will walk alongside of you while you stand up and choose the path that you want to go on. How beautiful that is. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit to help self face self at the altar of self is to reach out with a desire. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I just want it to happen. A short personal experience. Thank you, Lord. I have been plagued in an area of my life, in my family history, generational curses. Wonderful things. And probably nobody has prayed more than me to get the victory over it time after time after time. And only due to lack of faith that I don't get the victory, and because I don't have the axe put to the root on some things. And one particular night I woke up and I said, God, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of this. And for the first time in my life, I looked at him face to face. And I said, your holiness hurts my eyes. Fix it. And my wife and I have walked into a furnace. Not a furnace of affliction, but a furnace of change. The ministry that we were confident that we have, we're here today. I don't know about tomorrow. And on it goes. But what he is, and I don't boast in this, but I want you to get the strength of what I mean. Lord, tomorrow doesn't matter. Today you are changing me into your likeness so that I know the power of your resurrection this day. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Okay, the altar, the second place of the altar is a place of sacrifice. Sacrifice will not be sincere if you do not face yourself with reality. Because you will always hold back a part of you and say, God, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. But deep down behind me, I'm like Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm going to hold back. Well, Ananias and Sapphira are a good example of what happens if we hold back. We will not receive life. If we're going to be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, that we might know him, we cannot hold back one thing. Not one thing whatsoever. The word holiness is not a gray area word. It is an absolute word. That's why the New Age and the schools are trying to teach our children there is no such thing as absolute. Come on, guys. They're afraid of it. Afraid to face reality. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to pay the price. The altar of sacrifice, Romans 12:2, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. The third part of the altar is it's a place of communication. Now, when we're going through pain, I don't know about you, but I'm the world's biggest baby. I always said, God, I'm so glad I wasn't made to be a mother because I would tear up something in that delivery room so bad with my voice screaming and things like that. You men, we don't know what it is to be in pain, I think, do we? I don't want to know. It's bad enough. And so on. But God built within us the ability to understand pain so that we would realize something was wrong. And we shirk from it because we don't like what's wrong. Isn't that right? But it's a good warning sign most of the time. Anyhow, to go on with this again. I don't like to suffer. That's a fact. So I need to deal with that part of me. I'm reacting wrong, God. So at my altar of communication with him, God, how come I want to resist this stuff that's going on around me that I ask you to take care of? Oh, deliverance. The altar is a place of communication where you express whatever it is within you. He says, come boldly, boldly. You know what the word bold means there? Obnoxiously, outspoken. The Lord is saying, Father is saying to me, he's saying, look, whatever it is that's in you, I know it's there already. You're naked before me. I know your thoughts. I know what you're going to say before you say it. Why don't you have the courage to be honest enough to come to me and tell me what's in there? You see, we get this religious idea that we need to hide from God. Huh? Isn't that right? Adam and Eve are my favorite story about that. They were in the garden. They had sinned. And, of course, they did what we all do. They hid from God. God comes on the scene. Adam, where are you? No. Go to the original translations of it. Adam, where are you? Don't you realize where you're at? That's what our Father is doing right now. He's saying, where are you? But now it goes deeper than that. You see, God knows all. He knew where Adam and Eve were. There was no place for them to hide. But he wanted them to come face to face with himself and admit to him, this is where I'm at. That's the altar of communication. God, here I am. Glory to God. Mom and I do a lot of work with people that use rougher language. And it's a blessing to be with the Hudges. Love it. But at any rate, I have a phrase. Don't be offended. But we need to just let it all hang out before God. Just let it out. Express what's in. We are created by God within our soul to have a deed to dump, to express. Why else is it that when he calls the seven feasts, he calls them times of celebration, times of twirling, times of dancing? That was a real church service with God. Isn't that right? We've been trained. Isn't that right? We've been taught that man up in the front is the only one that can pray, and on and on. I don't want to throw stones. But come on, guys. God is saying, no, real church, real altar of communion is being real with me. My wife and I can't believe this, we've been married 30-some years, and I was not a communication person. I think there's probably lots of men that have a little trouble with that. I don't know. I see men smiling and wives nudging. Oh, it's hard for men to communicate because we're macho. It's a part of the ego is to shut up and suffer, you know. And really, it's control. Shut up and pout and she'll give in. But we won't tell them that. But I never get asked that twice. Communication. If your marriage is in trouble, it's because you can't communicate. Oh, I hear her saying amen back there. Guys, when you're raised, at age 11, I left home and I was a street kid and survived ever since then, you know, and nobody to dump on. Those are taught behaviors by parents. Okay, don't feel sorry. Friend, it was great. What other kid could eat chocolate donuts in the morning? But here's the deal. You never learn to communicate. Communication is bearing your soul to the one that you love. Communication is trusting the one that you love that they'll hear you and understand. And we can't communicate with our wives and our husbands. How do we expect to communicate with the Lord? Come on. The marriage is an example of the relationship between Jesus Christ and you and I as His bride. How do you think we're going to marry Him and not be able to talk to Him? No way, no way. We need to be very open with Him. Hallelujah. Tell you a secret. Sometime, put on some music you like to dance to. And say, Jesus, would you dance with me? And come face to face in His arms. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's not sinful. And He will look into your eyes. I don't want to suggest something, but this is what happens. When she and I dance together, after she says, I'll get off my toes or something, but she looks into my face and I look into hers. And I see the beauty of her eyes. The eyes are a reflection of her soul. I can look into the beauty of her soul. That's what Jesus wants to do. This is the altar of communication that is being measured right now. Oh, Lord, break down the walls that are hindering me from communication. Break down the wall. Now I'm going to ask you not to answer me, but ask yourself, is this just good words or is this convicting me? If it's good words, let's go home. I mean that sincerely. We're wasting our time. Church is a place of change. Deliverance brings change. Lord, change me that I might know what power of your resurrection. Okay, there's other altars, but we need to move on. And he says, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Okay, worship is the next thing. I seriously, not jesting, say to our sister, and I'm trying to talk her husband into just traveling with us. Okay. You have such a rare privilege here of worshiping God under pure anointing. Pure anointing. Worship is not a good beat. Worship is not chords that sound good. Worship is not feelings. In fact, worship may not even be singing. Worship is a lifestyle. That I might be known as a praise of His glory wherever I go. Hallelujah. 37 years ago, the Lord spoke to my wife and I said, you're going to be known as the house of praise. Well, we both love music. I used to play in bars and clubs and Dixieland and all of this stuff, so I really get into that. You know, I love music. Okay, it's just a part of my life. So I thought, oh, hallelujah, we're going to go around singing and doing this. And then it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen. So I went to Peter, and I said, okay, God, what did you mean? And he said, look at yourself. Are you a testimony of me wherever you go? That's what being a praise of his glory is. And a praise of his glory is not found in church. It's found where we live. Hallelujah. You see, this next 3.5 years, I speak this prophetically, but I know it. 3.5 years from now, you can tell me, yeah, I agree. All right? Or you're a false prophet. Get out of here. But I just know what I know. And you see, there's coming a time when the strength of the wicked shall appear to be good. And where the meaning of good is understood as wickedness. And it has a veil over it. And coming out from underneath the veil is the words, it feels good. It pleases your soul. It pleases your desires. Wickedness wants to minister to a people. And the only way that wickedness can be discerned, not by feelings, not by desires, not by wants, but by knowing what holiness and what the pure blessing of God is. Excuse me. So we are into it now, whereby the blessings of our Father, which have been there since we were born again, the firstborn blessings, we have walked in them, but we just don't realize they're there, so we ignore them and we mumble over our mumble grumbies and so on. Isn't that right? They're there already. He's now opening our eyes, not to head knowledge, but to an understanding of how great it is to be blessed by our Father. Hallelujah. We are walking in the reality of His blessings. And we cannot do that until we come to the altar of knowing self, so that we can know Him. There will come a time at the end of this 3.5 years, and God works in overlapping times, where the wickedness is going to be exposed such as never been. Such as has never been. Even worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Even worse than in the days of Noah. It is an exciting time. Say hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Because Satan is exposing Satan to Satan. Hallelujah! He's not exposing himself to the Christians. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what does Satan bring? This is the beautiful part. What does Satan bring with him? Death. The thief cometh not but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So wickedness must destroy wickedness. It cannot bring life. So the evil is destroying the evil. Glory to God. And God's church is living in a place where evil will not touch them. And that's rapture on earth. If you want to use that term. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is why God is measuring us now. Hallelujah. Okay. The court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Stop for a moment here. Hallelujah. The courtyard is left unto the Gentiles. I don't want to go there, and I'll tell you why. I don't have complete understanding as to whether these people are saved or not. If they're in the courtyard, to me, it means they're saved. But yet they call them Gentiles, and that means they're not saved. So I have to tell you the truth. I don't have a full understanding of that. But what I do have an understanding of is there is a period of time called 42 months. Okay? And it's going to be a time where those that are not the naos, the temple of God, are going to be outside of the protective covering of God. Oh, Lord. In the Old Testament temple would be those that are subject to the elements of the world. Hail, rain, snow, etc. And snow. Okay? And he says, don't measure that. There's nothing there to measure. They have no relationship of intimacy, of wanting to know me. They've not come to this altar of knowing me. They've not been seeking to be set free. Oh, Lord, it breaks my heart. It makes me want to go out and preach more and more and more. Come on, evangelism is so important, guys. He says they're going to get trampled. In other words, they are going to be under the authority of a system that is full of lies. It's full of lies. In this recent, and I can't go there, in this recent election, we saw such a dividing line. Those that believed the wickedness and believed it was truth with such sincerity that there was no measure that they would stop at. Isn't that right? And those that would not compromise for truth, no matter what the words were that were spoken, no matter how good it sounded. All right. There's going to be a time of trampling, 40 and 2 months. Too much, Lord, yes, I will. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot, 40 and 2 months. I kind of got out of sync here, but we'll get right back into it. When it says, measure it not, give it unto the Gentiles, thank you for correcting me, Lord. Here's, I have an understanding. It's good. He is saying, let the world show the church that says of the church, but they're not the church, to themselves. Let the church that says they're the church, but that is not the church, show the church to themselves. Oh, Jesus. Yes. You see, the true church is made up of born-again, spirit-filled Christians. Hallelujah. That's the only way you can become the temple of God, the naos of God. Is that not right? Yes. This is not harshness. This creates a hunger within me, oh God, that I might spread the truth that those that could be saved would be saved, oh God. Use me, oh Lord, to be a living example wherever I'm at, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, in the grocery line or whatever it might be. Oh God, use me to be a praise of your glory, to be a praise of your glory. Oh, I want that. I want that, brother. That's why we need deliverance. Deliverance camp should be filled to overflowing with Christians that are hungry to be changed into His likeness. I don't understand why they aren't. I do understand. Their ears are not tinkled. Isn't that right? Let's go on. We shouldn't pick on people. Let's look at the city for a minute. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 or 21. Shandalabasanda. And chapter 21. Now, for those of you interested, about 16, 17 years ago, what I'm going to share with you, I shared here in a prophetic manner. I didn't know until I got up to share what was going to be said, and my goodness sakes, it came out. Tommy Cook was a part of the work at that time coming, and on the way home, I said to him, Tommy, I'm not sure what I said. I never heard this before. And he said, it was right on, brother. It's happening right now. We need to get rid of our theology teaching and just go to the basic understanding of the Word. The sequence of events, the timing of events. You see, we are an event-oriented people. We are waiting for God to do this so this can happen. And God is saying, no, I'm waiting for you to become this so I can do this. Hallelujah! Religion is event-oriented. The true church is holiness-oriented. Events cannot happen without holiness first. Glory to God. So, and I, John, the only reason I'm skipping verse 1 is because it's not necessary for understanding. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I'd like us to see some truths here. We just talked about Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, a city, etc. Isn't that right? Huh? A new city. All of a sudden now, God is saying, you want to know what the bride is? You want to know what Jerusalem is? Oh, hallelujah. Here's a description of Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah. First of all, it says she is a holy city. That means that she is made up of a... And city there means dwelling place also. It's not a figurative speech of a city like hot springs. Okay, it's a dwelling place, okay? In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Glory to God. So anyhow, what he's saying here is, I see a people, a group, a corporate people, who are set apart unto me. Oh, hallelujah! What did we just talk about here? God was measuring, measuring, measuring. I see a people, and they are coming from a high place. That is a relationship of a walk that is totally focused unto God. But now we've been placed on this earth. God says, occupy till I come. So, we need to learn to walk totally focused unto God, but come down to the level of those that don't understand God and minister to them. Hallelujah. That high place in the Spirit. Have you ever been around someone, the lady that brought me to a place where I accepted the Lord? I was her boss, and I could do nothing to make her angry. She'd always smile at me. You know, I'd ask her to work overtime, and she said, well, certainly I will. And she'd call her husband, and he'd cook dinner for the kids and never say a word. And I thought, man. And all she'd ever say to me was, you know you're supposed to be a preacher. You know you're supposed to be a preacher. I wonder. But anyway, she was walking in that place of victory. This is what we're talking about here. A people that are walking in the place of victory, who have a relationship with God. And it says coming down means to gradually descend. It doesn't mean to come down like a bulldozer and knock them over the head. It says, no, you learn to participate in a walk in their midst. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Okay. From out of prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Oh, thank you, Lord. How do you suppose we are prepared? The big D word, deliverance. Come on. That's it. I can confess my... I know you can relate to this. We got some sins in our life, guys, and we confess them every day. Did you ever get so tired of confessing a sin? You said, God, just diddle yesterday and probably tomorrow. You know? I mean, over and over and over. No, you don't. Well, I'm not there yet. Thank you. But you know, God, it just seems like I cannot seem to get the victory over this. I can't seem to get the victory over that. I know it's not right. I mean, I'm smart enough not to smoke and chew and chase girls that do, because they'd see that. But it's this stuff on the inside, God. Okay. We repent and repent. Until deliverance comes, we don't bring forth fruit to show that we've changed. That's true deliverance. So preparation is a time of being real with God and saying, whatever the price is, prepare me. Prepare me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Oh, my God, change me, not to my standards, but to the standards of Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. That's why we're here at camp. Amen. Can't wait to get into the deliverance part. Lay the foundation, Lord. Okay. Coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is not the word bride that means the marriage has been consummated. This is the word bride that means engaged. Hallelujah. Keep your finger here. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Dear God, help me. I've got to stop. Chapter 1. I want to show you that. Verse 14. We were sealed, verse 13, with the Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit's the subject, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Just look at that. The word earnest there means engagement ring. Okay? The Holy Spirit is referred to in God's Word as our engagement ring. Hallelujah! Praise be to God! I am engaged, and that's the bride He's talking about here. I am engaged to my Lord Jesus Christ because I have a measure of His Spirit living within me. But the day is coming when I will be the true bride, when the fullness of the Spirit is in operation in my life. Hallelujah! Glory, and that's what heaven is. That is what heaven is. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And behold the tabernacle of God. Who's the tabernacle of God? You and I. Okay. Is with men. Is with men. It doesn't say that He's with those that have escaped. It doesn't say He's with those that are in the spirit bodies. He says, I want you to look at all flesh. The dwelling place of God is in the midst of all flesh. Where is He? You and I.
Hallelujah. We not haughtily say that, but we rejoice in the fact that because we chose Him, we have been chosen by Him. Hallelujah. Okay. And He says, and He will dwell with them. Well, we all know that. 3-4 times He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Huh? Right now, He's dwelling with us. He's dwelling with us right now. What more can we expect, guys? I mean, He's with us. It's done. It's finished. He's just saying, come on into the reality of it. I'm there. Open your eyes. Open up your understanding of knowing whom you are with me. I'm in a holy place. You're not going to get here unless you're holy. Hallelujah. And they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Deliverance. Deliverance. They shall be His people. Let me rephrase this and say this. When you become born again, you become His people. Hallelujah. And as we're being prepared, we realize that He is God. Absolute, sovereign God. Now we learned that back at the altar of communication where we surrendered. And we said, oh God, no matter what the price, You are going to be God of my life. You are going to be God of my life. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. The bride of Christ. Thank You, sister. The habitation of God is in man. I don't know how to stop, and it's late. Lord, Lord, what would You have? Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. And we'll bring things to... No, we won't. Turn with me to... Never mind. Yeah, that's fine. Chapter 4. I want you to have a hunger for the Word when you leave here tonight. Because it's the Word that brings the fire, that brings change. Hallelujah. Enjoy the Word of God. You see, religion teaches us that it's some unsearchable thing. Religion teaches us that God is not near. And God says, I am a God that's near you. Religion teaches us that man must control it or the offering will go down. Hallelujah. And when God controls it, usually the offering does go down because you got to live by faith. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? But if God ordered it, He's going to pay for it. And you don't want it if He didn't order it. So glory to God. We don't need fundraisers. Amen. That's why I don't get on TV. Oh, I didn't. I you can't help but think of these things. Isn't that right? You know? Huh? Come on. I don't make fun of them or scold them. It's just, that's their bag. Let them do it. Huh? I got a better way. Better way. Better way. All I want to do is be like Jesus. Just relax. Relax. We'll look at this in a second. Do you want anything in your life that Jesus doesn't want you to have? But we all carry a spirit of control. A spirit of control is the enemy of a spirit of active faith. Rather than to let God do it, we want to make it happen. That's why I teach our new converts, just hang loose and enjoy God. Come on. It's not an uptight don't do this or an uptight don't do this and don't do that thing. Shucks, you're not going to want to do those things because Jesus showed me a better way. But this religious attitude again, we must do this, we must do that. No, 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 we're free. We're free from the do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. Book of James chapter 2, I think he calls it the royal law. This is the only thing that we're in bondage to, and that's love others as you love yourself and love God first. All of these other things that we do to make ourselves appear to be holy unto God are just satisfying flesh, trying to do something that Jesus already did. Amen. Okay, so let's hang loose. The results are up to Jesus. I believe God's going to do something tonight. I think He is. I don't just say that lightly. But I sense a group of people that are hungry for more of God. You're a hungry people. I am the last one to be a preacher. Behind this pulpit have stood such marvelous, mighty men and women of God. I say, God, I don't deserve to be here. And He just says, well, let me use your mouth. I know you don't. And this is a true thing. So true. And He says, put your mouth in gear tonight. I'll take over. Whatever you want to do. So we're going to pray a prayer, a deliverance prayer.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.